This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Britton joins us in studio, local author, historian, and cartographer. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. How have you been?
I've been great. Keeping busy. You know, you were talking about truck accidents, and I wanted to tell you my favorite. Nobody got hurt, so it's okay to laugh about it. There were two fairly large trucks that collided in the middle of a bridge in New York City. Now, this was back in the 60s, early 70s. They collided and, you know, smashed up the contents and overturned. Well, one of the trucks was carrying chicken parts, and the other truck was full of barbecue sauce. And so the chicken parts and the barbecue sauce kind of spread all over the bridge. And then, of course, the gasoline, you know, caught on fire. And they had a huge chicken barbecue right in the middle of the bridge.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was on Ripley's.
You're making this up.
No, it was on Ripley's. You know, it was one of those things. So, you know, probably it was true.
Yeah.
I don't know how true all the Ripley stuff is. But I thought that was hilarious. Chicken barbecue.
How about that?
Yeah.
So you join us every Friday afternoon for a little local history and history discussion. Not always local, but always good. What do you have for us today?
Well, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about the 19th Virginia. We've touched a little bit about the Civil War. The 19th Virginia in the Confederate Army was the largest conglomeration of Charlottesville and Albemarle boys on the Confederate side in the Civil War. It was organized in May and June of 1861, and a regiment on both sides. The regiment has 10 companies. Seven of the companies of the 19th Virginia Infantry were from either Charlottesville or Albemarle County, and the two from right here in Charlottesville, one of them still exists, is the National Guard unit, the Monticello Guard, and the Albemarle Rifles, and then you had like the Scottsville Guard and the Howardsville Grays, and there was a company from Albemarle from the western part called the Blue Ridge Rifles and everything. So here are all these local guys, about 800 of them in the First Battle of Manassas, but actually on the peripheries of the First Battle of Manassas. They showed up at the end just in time to see the Yankees running. And they only lost one man in that action from like a stray shot. But it's funny because the memoirist, Nat Wood in the 19th, wrote that, you know, they really hadn't suffered many casualties, but they always claimed that they'd been at the First Battle of Manassas.
Huh.
The big thing for them, they were, it's funny because the story is kind of strange because they always seem to be on the edge of the fight. They really first saw the elephant. That's what the soldiers used to say back then. That's what's getting into a fight, is seeing the elephant.
Really? Uh-huh. I never heard that.
Yeah, that was the term that they used.
I wonder where that originated.
Probably because elephants in circuses were such a big deal, you know, that's something that stuck in your mind as a kid in those days, because, you know, not many people had actually seen an elephant.
Oh.
So seeing the elephant was this big thing, you know, this
big
event.
Yeah.
So they were in the Battle of Seven Pines, but they only suffered a few casualties.
Which was where?
There. Seven Pines is on the Virginia Peninsula just prior to the Seven Days Battles, and that was in the spring of 1862. It's kind of interesting.
And that's when the Federals were trying to come up the peninsula towards Richmond.
When the Army of the Potomac under
McClellan. We stopped them at Williamsburg, is that right?
Well, they came. There was a battle at Williamsburg. It was a rear guard battle. They came up. No, they came close enough. They were actually, in fact, a lot of the guys rode home from the Federal Army. They were able to set their pocket watches by the church towers in Richmond, by the chimes going off in the church towers in Richmond.
Wow.
They were that close. They were just a few miles away.
And when was this?
So this is in the spring of 1862.
That early, gosh.
It's kind of interesting because they're deployed in a wood, and they were laying down. They were crouching and laying down, and a New England regiment approached them with the colonel in the front. And, you know, in those days, the war was still pretty early. There hadn't been a lot of big battles. And so people would often yell across to identify who the people were they were facing. And so the colonel yells, who are these? Who are you boys? And they shouted, Virginians. And so he turned to his regiment and said, come on, men, they'll all surrender. And, of course, that was a huge insult. The 19th Virginia rose up and fired this volley into him at, you know, pretty close point-blank range and killed that colonel that had made that kind of boastful remark.
Wow.
But they
so
only...
The 19th Virginia, of course, is all the guys from this area. And they were formed...
They were formed in Manassas.
I mean, it was really just people coming out of their homes with guns. A lot of people didn't even have guns, right? I mean...
That's true. Yeah, you know, companies were the units that were formed in locality. So, for example, there were two companies from Charlottesville, like I mentioned, the Albemarle Rifles and the Monticello Guard, you know, a company out of Scottsville, a company out of Howardsville.
Right.
Then they brought those together, and, you know, it would seem like it would be a logical thing, but it was unfortunate that they would bring units from one area. Like, for example, units from Albemarle County, they tend to put them into one regiment together. What that meant was if the regiment, you know, got obliterated in a battle, there's an entire generation from this one little spot on the map.
Right.
You know, and we discovered that, of course, in World War II when, you know, Bedford, you know, suffered the highest percentage per capita casualty in World War II, Bedford County, Virginia, you know, because one company in the 116th Infantry ended up in D-Day when that ramp went down on the front of the boat as they're coming ashore at D-Day. They were right in front of a huge machine gun nest.
Oh, my God.
So I think nowadays things are a little bit different in the military, including the National Guard, where they tend to spread the units around a little bit so that kind of stuff doesn't happen.
Historian and local author Rick Britton is our guest. So the 19th Virginia, tell us about this. Is some of their journeys through the Civil War, the guys from this area. And do we know if there were any women that were part of it? Because that happened.
We would probably know if there were women in the 19th Virginia. I can tell you for a fact, though, that when after the Battle of Gettysburg, you know, which was in July of 1863, when they were burying the Confederate casualties that had been lost in Pickett's charge, they found one woman on the field. So at least one woman died in Pickett's charge. Now, I don't really believe there were any women in the 19th Virginia Infantry. Women were not supposed to be in the Army, but a lot of times they snuck them in, you know, they were the wives, the sweethearts.
Right.
Wanted to follow their men, you know, into battle. There weren't many, but there were women, and I think a lot more than, you know, people have thought in the past.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, in fact, one of the great stories about, since you asked about that, it is fascinating. One of my favorite stories is there were two, soldiers, cavalrymen with Sherman, you know, on the march to the sea. One of them was a cavalryman, and one was in a quartermaster position in the cavalry, and they're riding across a bridge, and they got into a fist fight. Have I told you this story before?
No, they got into
a fist fight on this bridge, you know, on their horses, and they got off on the horses, continued this fight, and they both fell off the bridge into the water, you know, and so the guys are seeing this, and they rush out to get them, to revive them and to bring them back ashore. Turned out both were women. So possibly that's what they were fighting about, you know. You better do what I say or I'm going to turn you in. They're going to throw you out. No, you're not, you know.
Rick Britton, our guest. And so the 19th Virginia, they were at Seven Pines down on the peninsula.
They were at Seven Pines. They were at First Manassas briefly. They were at Gaines's Mill in the 7 Days Battle. And they were in the brigade commanded by George Pickett. And they suffered a few casualties there. They ended up at Second Manassas, but kind of on the periphery again. Then at Sharpsburg, of course, the federal name for Sharpsburg is Antietam. At Sharpsburg,
and is that why was that the bloodiest battle of the war? Was it Gettysburg? I mean, why is Antietam so famous?
Antietam is the bloodiest single day of the Civil War. Gettysburg was bloodier, but it's a 3-day battle,
so that's
the distinction there. That's what makes the difference. Just to give you an idea,
how many lives on that one day in Antietam?
Oh my gosh, it's something like, well, it's more than 9-1-1. It's something like 7,000 deaths on that one day.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Not to diminish the folks that died at 9-1-1,
or not to diminish the
casualties in Iraq or Afghanistan, but you know, the country has been through a whole lot worse, with a smaller population. You know, when you think of the casualties on one day in a combat. Yeah. Of course, both sides are Americans. And so that's what makes the difference there. Both sides.
Yeah.
You know, are Americans. But anyway, to give you an idea, they'd been in the war, a year and a half. There were 50 men with the 19th Virginia at the Battle of Sharpsburg. You know, so we're talking about July, in fact, it's just been a little over a year. July of 1861, there were 800 approximately at the Battle of First Manassas on the edge of the battle.
Oh, you're kidding.
September of 62, 50 with the Army.
So just basically over a year later, they had lost most of their
men.
Now,
most of that is to illness,
which was true for the entire Civil War.
Yes, exactly.
Dysentery, measles,
exactly.
I mean, you name it, they had everything.
Yeah, dysentery and consumption were the two big ones.
Yeah,
diarrhea, dysentery, and consumption. 620,000 lives lost in the Civil War in four years.
And I remember reading somewhere that over half of the guys that underwent surgeries or amputations died because they had no sense of clean your hands
Surgery was still in its infant state. The biggest day, of course, in the war for the 19th Virginia Infantry was July 3rd of 1863. They were smack dab in the middle of Pickett's charge. They started off with close to 400 men.
So set the scene for us. What is Pickett's charge? Where were they? Put this in context.
It's the third day of the Battle of Gettysburg. The casualties from the first 2 days are still kind of lying around. They're already blackened, and some of them are starting to bloat. Robert E. Lee had tried his hand at the Federal left on the first day. The first day, actually, he crushed two corps, the 11th Corps and the 1st Corps. The first day of the battle, July 1st, 1863, was a huge Confederate victory. Then on the second day, he tried his hand at turning the Federal left and then turning the Federal right. And so his logic was, okay, well, they've had to reinforce out of the center to sustain those attacks of mine, so we'll try them, as a friend of mine says, hey, diddle, diddle, right up the middle on July 3rd, 1863. And so Pickett's division, which was three brigades of all Virginians, 15 regiments of Virginians, supplemented. That division was actually kind of small. It was only a little over 5,000. So three brigades of divisions, the 19th Virginia being in one of those brigades under Richard Brooke Garnett. They're supplemented on their left by two divisions that had been in the first day's fight and kind of depleted. All told, it's been exaggerated over the years, I believe. All told, there are about 11,000 men in this assault. And they started off with an artillery bombardment to try to soften up the Federal positions on Cemetery Ridge. And that lasted for quite some time. The 19th Virginia suffered kind of a bizarre casualty during that bombardment. Of course, there was counter battery fire coming from the enemy lines. And enfilade fire is fire that comes down your ranks. And the Federals had posted some guns on Little Round Top that were actually able to fire down the ranks of the 19th Virginia infantry. Now, they were laying down in ranks behind the artillery, behind the line of close to 100 Confederate artillery pieces as they're doing this bombardment. And one of the tactics they used in those days was bounding the solid shot, and that meant having it bounce on the ground. It was pretty effective and very detrimental psychologically. You see this thing coming at you, and it's bouncing along the ground. Well, here is Lieutenant Colonel Ellis of the 19th Virginia, and he's lying down in front of the regiment, and he'd found a little depression in the ground to lay his head in, and here comes this bounding shot, and one of his men goes, "Lieutenant Ellis, look out." And he raised his head to look, and the cannonball took it off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a really, really kind of upsetting loss for the regiment. They haven't even gotten into the battle yet, and all of a sudden the lieutenant colonel has been decapitated. Kind of set you back.
These are guys from right here.
These are guys from right here, Charlottesville and Albemarle County. Seven of the companies were from Charlottesville and Albemarle. Two were from Nelson. One was from Amherst. So they're all from this general area of Virginia. So they went across after the end of that artillery bombardment. They went across that field, about three quarters of a mile field. They get to the stone wall. Everybody's seen that in the famous illustrations. The 19th Virginia Infantry was right there. One of the diarists, Nat Wood, wrote that when he got to the wall, he set his hand on it, and he looked around, and he felt that they had been embarrassed because they'd started off with a full regiment, and there wasn't a skirmish line left at that wall. And he couldn't understand it because in the attack, he had not seen one act of cowardice. Well, he realized the Yankees were going to retake them, and he didn't want to spend the rest of the war in a prison of war camp, so he ran back across that field and made it. He survived Pickett's charge, survived the war, but he wrote about how when he ran back across the field, then he realized why there had only been a skirmish line at the wall. The attack failed. It crushed the division, crushed the 19th Virginia Infantry, and that was really the high point of the war for them.
For the South as well.
And for the South, a lot of people say, although there were opportunities for the South to win the war after that.
Rick Britton, thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
Rick Britton, local author and historian. Your website again?
It's www.rickbritton.com.
Rickbritton.com. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.